What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
There are large swaths of the city with no emergency response resources available.
Are we going to be having the same conversation next year and the year after?
We can't.
That is a LA City Councilwoman, Tracy Park, talking about how these individuals, gosh, this has been burning for over a week now, have no emergency response resources. If you're in an elected position in this country at any level of government, you've got to be on the front lines of providing the emergency response that people need at a time like this. You got to ask yourself if the people of Los Angeles and Palisades and Malibu and all of these individual places that have experienced these absolutely catastrophic fires are questioning the leadership that they have in place right now. Let's talk to our friend DeRoy about it. DeRoy Murdoch joins us once again, nationally syndicated columnist, a Project 21 ambassador, Fox News contributor. DeRoy, welcome back. It's always good to have you here.
Great. It's great to be with you, Annie.
My understanding is that have you had the chance to go out to California and experience what has taken place?
Yeah, by total coincidence, I had a trip planned there anyway, and the fires broke out Tuesday of last week. I happened to be in Southern California, so I took advantage of the opportunity to go visit the Pacific Palisades and take a look at the damage up close and personal, which I did on Sunday afternoon between about 3:30 and about 5 when the sun went down. So I only had about 90 minutes racing the sun as it was dropping. And of course, because there's no electricity and the evacuation and everything else, when the sun goes down, it just goes pitch black there and there's no one around, eerie silence, and it was quite something. The good news I can tell you is we spoke last week about my high school, Palisades High School, from which I graduated, and the reports were that it was burned to the ground, completely gone. I walked through the campus, and there are some bungalows at the east end of campus, which are kind of new. Those burned, and I think the building where the shop classes were, metal shop, wood shop, what have you, I think that burned too. But apart from that, all the original buildings are there, intact,
oh, that's great.
Beautiful. If you stood at the front of campus and didn't see the bungalows in the back, it looks just like the kids are going to be there, you know, tomorrow morning.
Oh.
So that's great news. I was very pleased with that. But then you go across the street, right across Sunset Boulevard, and there was a big church there, and the church burned, and the only thing left are the iron girders. And when you look at it, it looks almost like the initial artist sketch when the artist said, okay, let me just do a quick, 10-second line drawing to give you an idea of what I think the church should look like. And it's gone right back to what that sketch looked like. I mean, just a few big broad lines where the iron girders are, and everything else is burned out. And you drive along Sunset Boulevard, the Gelson's Market's burned down. There's a Bank of America that burned down. J.P. Morgan Chase burned down. One business after another gone. And then you go through the residential areas, pretty much west of Chautauqua, if people know that area, Chautauqua West, mainly Sunset North. There's a little bit below Sunset, but a lot more damage north of Sunset. And you just see one burned down house after another. You know, you see the chimneys, you see the front porch, and like the front steps in concrete, and then everything else gone. And you look right across the street, and it looks like nothing happened. And you'll see the beautiful houses there and the shrubs and the rose bushes and the landscaping. It looks like, just another beautiful day in the Palisades. So very, very random as to how the fire went down one street, not another, one side of the street, not another. Usually you'll see cases where everything burns down and one house survives. I did see the exact opposite in an area closer towards, I think the street is Toyopa, if I remember correctly. Everything looks beautiful, intact, like nothing happened. And one particular street, one particular house in the middle of the block burned to the ground. And whenever that poor homeowner comes back, and sees his or her house gone and everything else intact, that person's going to think, what did I do to deserve this? Was it something I said? So that's kind of the exact opposite of what you see in many other places, which is one house standing surrounded by devastation. This is one house gone surrounded by beauty, basically.
Man, I mean, it's got to be breathtaking to see. It's something that you can see it on television, but when you're amidst it, it is just very, I'm sure, humbling to see what can happen in this event. Is this so large and so big that you can't prepare for it? Do you see negligence right now, or is this just that act of God that you fear can happen?
Well, I'd say in terms of being able to take all of this in, what you do see on TV is the destruction. I mean, it's not interesting when a plane lands safely at LAX. It is interesting when a plane crashes somewhere. So what's interesting is really the houses that burn down. What's not interesting are the ones that survive. So what you do not see on TV is how much of the Palisades still is there. Now, the destruction is widespread, enormous. So I don't want to trivialize that. But the good news is there's probably more Pacific Palisades remaining than people might think, having watched what's on the news. But it is the devastation is vast and deep. Act of God, I don't blame Gavin Newsom and Karen Bass for the Santa Ana winds. They can't control. They cannot control that. What they should be able to control is things like the fire department budget, how much the Department of Water and Power does in terms of maintaining reservoirs, making sure that water hydrants have water flowing through them. And in that respect, these people drop the ball miserably, I think, to the point of negligent homicide.
Wow.
People like Gavin Newsom have spent so much time in office, worried about equity, worried about sanctuary cities, focused on electric vehicle mandates and that sort of stuff. And, you need to focus on the basics, which is making sure that your constituents can go to sleep in their homes and wake up peacefully and return home after work or school to the homes that they've purchased and that they love so much. And when it comes to basic things like making sure that you have water in the reservoirs and water coming through the hydrants, these guys screwed up. This Sentinel Reservoir at the top of Pacific Palisades has been empty since February of last year. I don't know how long it takes to fix the cover on a reservoir, but it shouldn't be 11 months. And I don't get the sense that we're anywhere close to having that done. I mean, that should be the kind of thing like, okay, let's take 2 or 3 weeks, fix this, and put the cap back on and make sure that water is ready and available for whatever emergency can pop up. Karen Bass cut $17 million from the fire department budget. By my rough calculation, that could buy probably somewhere around 50, 51 brand new fire trucks, about $300,000 each. That's not a deluxe model. It's kind of a basic model. Now, there are a lot of places where just having a basic fire truck on the street would have helped, but she decided to take that money out and spend it on all kinds of other stuff. And of course, she wasn't there. She was off in Ghana, enjoying the inauguration of an African president when she should have been in town directing the command to defend her constituents. And then the head of the DWP, the Department of Water and Power, she's a woman named Janice Quinones, and she said in an interview in July of last year, it's important to me that everything we do is through an equity lens and social justice and making sure that we right the wrongs of the past. And the triumph of equity for everyone is something we're trying to achieve. Look, I'm going to go out on a limb and say there's not one customer in Los Angeles who's not getting water or power or natural gas because that person is black or Hispanic or Jewish or white or anything else. Now, maybe your water's cut off because you didn't pay your bill. There's no electricity coming to your house because your check bounced, maybe. But I don't think there's one person in L.A. who's told, oh, that person's black, let's cut that guy's electricity off. Or I hate Jews, let's turn off that person's gas. My guess is that battle was won years ago, and this Ms. Quinones should focus on making sure water goes through the pipes and water comes through the hydrants and leave the focus on equity, the NAACP and other folks, and stop fighting the battles of the 1950s, 60s, and 70s. It'd be like having somebody running a hospital and saying, my clear focus here is to stamp out scurvy. We want to make sure there's no scurvy here in our town. Well, I'm against scurvy too, but guess what, honey? That was taken care of a long time ago. You can move on to lung cancer or breast cancer or diabetes or something things that remain problems today.
We're speaking with Doroy Murdoch, our friend here every Wednesday on the Andy Fry Show. The negligence or malfeasance, or as you said, you related it to a homicide. Watching the fire spread, the lack of response, the lack of emergency declaration out of Los Angeles, these are all things that you would hope that your elected officials would be spending their time on. You've articulated quite a few things that they have been focusing on that don't stop fires from taking homes of black people or white people or brown people. Do you feel as though from your conversations with people, from spending some time in Southern California, that the sentiment towards those elected officials could make any sort of political shift happen in California?
You know, I think it will to a degree. I mean, I don't think California is about to turn into Utah, but I think there are a lot of people who are saying, look, you know, all this other stuff you're focusing on is nice and fun and wonderful if you actually can have your school intact and be able to attend it, and if you can come home from work and your house is still there. But when something that basic is not happening, and you've got something like 30,000 people evacuated. I think it's 17,000 buildings and structures destroyed in the Palisades fire and the Eaton fire in Altadena, Pasadena. A lot of those folks are going to say, equity and diversity, all those things are lovely. But guess what? I don't have a house. And your job is to make sure I could have a house and not have it burned to the ground. You didn't do that. So I think people are going to be a lot more skeptical of this nonsense and expect to have leaders who are actually competent and know what they're doing and focus on the big, important stuff and not get so distracted by the bells and whistles that the meat and potatoes don't get taken care of, which is unfortunately what's going on in the town in which I was born and grew up.
Deroyce Murdoch speaking with us right now. I wanted to ask you about all of that, especially with your personal connection to it. Before I let you go, I do want to ask you about your thoughts on some of the confirmation hearings that we've heard. Pete Hegseth yesterday, Pam Bondi today. I know there are other ones that are taking place as well. How are you feeling about Trump's nominees, their appearances before these Senate committees, and the likelihood that they will get confirmed?
I think the likelihood is much better now. The GOP has a majority in the Senate of 53 seats, so there's no need to have any Democrats support any of his nominees as long as the Republicans stick together. I think there was some question about Pete Hegseth early on. I think his confirmation hearing yesterday was very solid. He seems very capable, unflappable, cool, calm, and collected, so I think he did himself a lot of good. There probably are a lot of Democrats who vote against it, maybe all of them, but as long as the Republicans stick together, he should be fine. And I think Joni Ernst had some questions about him, as did Lindsey Graham. They seem to be back in the boat, rowing in the same direction. So I think that he'll get through. Kash Patel will get through. I think they're all going to get through, unless there's some strange, shocking surprise that pops up out of nowhere. That's how it should be. A president should be able to pick his team and get the people in who will implement whatever the agenda was that got the candidate elected. And that's certainly true as much of Donald J. Trump as was for Joe Biden. And I can't think off the top of my head of any of Biden's cabinet nominees who were blocked by the GOP. I think he got all of his cabinet nominations. Some judges may have gotten scuttled, but as far as his cabinet, I think he got all of his appointees in. And unless there's somebody who's egregiously, completely inappropriate for the job, that's how it should be. And I think Trump is going to get all of his nominees in, and that'll be probably early on, soon after he's inaugurated next week.
Well, DeRoy, as I calculated, the next time we speak, we will have a new president, and we will be back into an America First mentality. Of course, we're seeing the benefits of his incoming presidency happening in the Middle East today, and I'm looking forward to our conversations in the future, because the times are changing, and we're going to be able to have those discussions with such great detail throughout the course of this year. We're always grateful for you.
And not a week too soon.
Not a week too, that's for sure. DeRoy, thank you so much. Good to speak with you.
All right, Annie. Thanks very much.
Take
care. Next week. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. DeRoy Murdoch is our friend on Wednesdays, a nationally syndicated columnist, Project 21 ambassador, and a Fox News contributor. When we come back, we're going to connect with Coach Lou Holtz. What an honor for me. We've spoken to him one time before. Of course, you've heard me talk about being a Notre Dame family, football family. In our home, we cheer for the Irish. My husband has watched the Notre Dame football program since he was a little kid because it was on NBC, and we grew up in a time before cable, and that's just what was offered up. So I have, by way of marriage, become a Notre Dame football fan, been able to attend Notre Dame football games. So that is my connection to NCAA football and watching them participate in on Monday. We're going to get Donald Trump as president in the afternoon and a Notre Dame Ohio State championship football game on Monday evening. It's going to be quite a day. We've covered quite a bit on this show what seems to be a movement that is reflected certainly in college sports. I've seen it in professional sports as well. The YouTube live chat poll for today, is there a religious culture shift taking place in America? Yes or no? You can weigh in on that on the Annie Fry YouTube live broadcast. The poll is in the live chat. Your comments as well, once you place them in there in the live chat, we'll feature some of those. But we want to ask a man who's very, very close to this particular moment in time, close to his faith, close to college football, close to specifically, of course, Notre Dame football. Coach Lou Holtz on the Annie Fry Show when we come back.